The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about, so please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. It's the weekend podcast. It's episode 464. I'm joined by Stephanie there. Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
And also, I'm joined by Petrona.
Yes, hello.
All right, lads. How are you? Are you all right?
How's the cave?
Very well. Yeah, it's very good. I've moved into a cave. You might be able to hear that.
Yeah, I like the sort of regressing there. I like that, getting back to basics.
Yep.
Are you wearing a fur sort of vest and stuff? Are you a fur all in one off the shoulder number?
Yeah, I've lost so much money since I've been dealing in shares.
Where are you?
I'm actually at my sister's house.
Why don't they get some furniture in?
And they can't afford furniture. No, I think they're renovating. Or this is a very kind of new, stripped-down decor they're going for.
Oh, okay. All right. So your sister's in Cardiff?
That's right, yes.
Steve's in Cardiff. It's good to see you.
He is.
Good to see you hooking up, guys, because
best of buddies. I set my little studio up, had a cup of tea, and they were ready for you, and you tell me last minute you're not coming.
I didn't think we'd confirmed that. I thought it was like, we might do that. Sorry,
yeah,
Steve.
Cheers.
I never get any visitors as well. I was getting excited, so we're not actually going to turn up.
Oh, poor Steve. Look at him there.
Steve.
You put the kettle on, there's a little cup of tea ready for you. Yeah, your favourite pair of slippers under the desk.
To be honest, that's the reason I didn't go. I knew it'd be like that.
Got you some special biscuits from Aldi.
So I don't know if we should touch the special biscuits. Oh, look at the trouble he's gone to. And you haven't even turned up there.
I'm awful, aren't I? Sorry, Steve. I'll turn next time.
Anyway, listen, guys, enough of this nonsense. Let's get stocks and shares, yeah? I've got to say, I'm disgusted with you two, to be honest with you. You know, because on Thursday, you know, there was the Queen's birthday. And, you know, and Pete it was. And you text the prince has died, and then Steve says, "I bet the queen is gutted on her birthday."
that's not funny.
I think it was too early for that.
It was too soon, wasn't it?
You know, a genius of music there, and also Prince dying.
When I first saw someone message me on a WhatsApp group saying, "Oh, Prince has just died," I actually thought it was something to do with the royal family at first. I generally
thought that. Well, he is. He's a royal of music, Steve.
He is.
You know, the purple man, isn't he, of instrumentation? But I thought that. I got a text from IRN, which is an independent reporting news service, and I looked at it, independent radio news service, and I looked at it. I thought it was. Which prince did you think it was?
I don't know. I just thought it was a member of the royal family. It's something. I don't know. Prince Albert.
Prince Albert.
I think he might already
do. We know what Prince Albert refers to, Steve.
You've got one thing on your mind.
Yeah, exactly, one thing. it's Prince Albert who's kicked the bucket.
That's very shocking, though. It was very sad.
Yeah, it is. The picture of Prince Albert is very shocking. you know, it's a horrible thought.
Steve's Prince Albert.
I did think it was the Queen's husband. I thought straight away, you know, he's not looking the best now. And fair play, he's about, 97 or something? Yeah. And even the last, what was the last time we had a party for the Queen about? What was that about?
The Jubilee.
He didn't even turn up for that. I don't know if he's ill. I think he was just saying,
Can't be bothered.
Loud music. I'm not bothered with that nonsense. I'm 93. Yeah. I'm 93, and I'm a husband of the Queen. If I can't put my foot down here and say I'm not going to that nonsense, seeing, you know, Robbie Williams and Genesis on stage or whatever it was, and Kylie Minogue, he's not going to be into that, is he? Fair play to the Queen. She sat through that nonsense.
You're confusing him with your attitude to those things.
Yeah. Maybe. But let's be honest. He's 93. And they go, oh, do you know what? We're going to put a party on. You've got Robbie.
He might be really into it.
Robbie Williams and Kylie Minogue and Tom Jones. He said, what the hell are you out for? Get him out of my garden! And they're doing it again this year. Why are they in our garden again? Because they can't have just a quiet time. Anyway, listen, talking about royals, I top sliced Royal Dutch Shell this week. Hey, all right,
nice
slick.
Segue.
Right in
Me
there.
Too.
Yeah, well, listen, guys, this is a text I sent, and I sent this to you, and I said, if I were you, I'd start thinking about top slicing Royal Dutch Shell, and maybe. Having a look at Motivbio, MTVFB. I've held these for a little bit. They haven't moved a lot. But Steve came back and said, what, even the Royal Dutch Shell is rising like it is? This is the very time, Steve, the top slicing, you know? This is what it's all about. Like I say, I keep saying over and over again, but at the moment, it's quite a bullish mood amongst the markets, isn't it? Not a lot going, people thinking, oh, it's so good. When everyone is bullish, that's exactly the time to start paring back. The time, because no one sees it coming. And then all of a sudden, what happens is, when it starts to drop, people start to panic because they haven't seen it coming, and they start selling like crazy. And all of a sudden, you're caught in the down... You don't want to be caught in the downwind, the pressure, the downward pressure. It's like you want to ride the surf. You want to be crushed by the wave, you know?
Mm. Yes, good analogy. Absolutely.
After I sent that text and said, even though they're rising, although they did actually rise even more towards the end of the day, but I did listen to your podcast... on Thursday, and do you know what inspired me? So I took a bit out, and I put some money into, is it Motive?
Yeah, Motivbio. Yeah, but
Motivbio. It's a good interview.
Well, let me tell you the background story on. They got something called Ilclaprim, which is a novel antibiotic. And I didn't know. I did read a report on this actually, and I don't know if it was separate to doing research on Motivbio, but I read this report from Dame Claire, Claire Stair. And she's basically saying, you know, antibiotics within 5 years will become almost useless if we carry on the way we're doing now and looking for alternative antibiotics. And like I said, you can't do any operation whatsoever without antibiotics. And so you get MRSA and all these kind of, you know, super bugs that are, you know, basically immune to antibiotics. And that's the way that the world is going at the moment. So they're all fast-tracking these novel antibiotics, which obviously will replace the last lot. And Motivbio have this Ilclaprim, which is one of them, and they are very undervalued compared to their peers in America. Now, pharmaceuticals have gone ridden strongly. They've had a good rally over the last couple of years. They've come back in the start of the year and stuff, but they've had a heck of a rally. But like you said, in a year's time, they'll be at the level where this other company, that Sempra, I think it's called, pharmaceuticals, who are valued at $900 million, and that's 20 times the value of Motivbio right now. And the thing is, that's America. But they are going to list on the NASDAQ end of this year, probably. And people will think, well, hang on, this is a company here in stage 3 clinical trials. And so, you know, that's the last stage. It may take a while, it take a year or something. That's the last stage of trialing. So they've gone through two successful trials already. And so this is when, after that stage 3 is complete, there's commercialization. And that's when they get to sign up and do deals and stuff. And so I just think they're hugely undervalued. They have, they're a market cap of $44 million. They have $28 million end of the year in cash. You know, so they're funded up. And yet I just think they're undervalued. And, you know, and they're saying, you know, if you look at the Beaufort write-up there, they're saying sales from this could be a blockbuster drug. And so that means if you achieve sales of $1 billion a year, that's a blockbuster drug. And they're saying it's not unheard of. It's not unheard of. They could quite achieve that without any stretch, really. And so it's almost why people aren't catching on to the story, you know. But I'd say this is one of those stocks where it cannot move for a while and you may lose faith in it. It may dip down all of a sudden, through the roof, you know, on some news. And that news is coming. We know that's coming, you know, full stop. So it's coming. And that's what we got left. How many months we got left? April, May, so 7 months left of the year, that's all. You know?
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, you're saying about top slicing and obviously pulling money out of a stock that's doing well or whatever, and going back a couple of months, you were saying you put notes in your diary, haven't you, to say, you know...
Yeah, I've got to put four alerts somewhere on Google Calendar, and it just sends me, it says, And in fact, what it actually says, yeah, it's a very catchy phrase, actually. And I'll dig it up. What does it say? Start trimming stocks in May to avoid some. No, I don't know what it says. But it's, I got four of them.
Go away in May, come back on.
Yeah, I got four of them. Start slicing. Yeah, so I did, like I said, do you know what? I got to say, almost, I'd say, just under half my portfolio is in Rolled Dutch Shell.
Right. Yeah.
And
okay.
I sold a big chunk of that now. Now I'm back to levels I'm quite happy with. Yeah. And so I still own Rolled Dutch Shell, but I sold all the Rolled Dutch Shell A shares, which were paid in scrip dividend, and I sold a big chunk of the B shares. So I'll still get a dividend there. So I'm happy to continue rising, but now I've got, I'm almost half in cash, 50% cash, ready for the summer. Ready for
right,
Brexit?
So that was my question, because obviously you were talking, say, a couple of months ago when you had your big fat bear head on, you were sort of very much getting out, obviously top slicing in now or April or whatever, and then and going to cash. But then you're obviously talking about some new companies you're obviously investing in, but I'm assuming you're putting in just a proportion of that cash and keeping a lot in cash.
Yes, but listen, the strategy with small stocks is every now and again I get dragged into a punt which could go somewhere. I don't want that anymore. I'm only on AIM, looking at small cap stocks, trying to find the holy grail of AIM. You know, these companies that could be mid tier, could go from nothing to some, several hundred million market cap.
Yeah.
That's what I'm after. The stocks I own at the moment. Let's have a look at them. The stocks I own at the moment.
But even in April now, or May or whatever, you're
April,
still going
May.
Into these stocks because you like that stock, so you can't.
Yeah, no, I think there's significant amount. A lot of them I'm up anyway in. So these stocks, like Asia Met, for example, right? As one, there's Advanced Oncotherapy. Two, Bushveld, which was suspended on Thursday. Bushveld, BMN, that is, okay?
Did you have a podcast with them by any chance?
No, I BMN, Bushveld, they're worth checking out. They've got a lot of resource there down in South Africa. And I was researching, do you know anything about vanadium?
Surprisingly, no.
Don't you? Let me just, because, we got all these batteries now, all lithium batteries and all that stuff, right?
Yep.
And people said, "Oh, that's the way forward," and it's all that stuff. And vanadium, though, it can be shown vanadium batteries are a lot better. They charge faster, and almost they'll do like a. I can't think of the stats, but I was reading a BBC article. Cause I did a bit of research on it, and the stats are they can.
They'll power your phone.
No, but they can. You can charge them about 10,000 times, and they won't show any. Reduction in the quality of charge, whereas a lithium battery will only survive about 1,000 to 2,000 charges.
So
they're saying vanadium is the way forward. And in Hawaii and certain parts of the world that have, they use a lot of solar power. The problem is, all solar power is created at the same time of day, and it's hard to store it. But vanadium can do that. And so there's a big market there. But there's a suspension on Thursday. And so I'm hoping it's good news because it's a good little company. This, anyway, that's another stock I think will go big time, big thing. I got Hegeland and all. Yes, they're there. They're a bit of a pain. Horizonte Minerals again. IMI Pharma, another company. Do you know what? There's only two sectors, and I got this from Paul Johnson really. And I thought, he's right. He's pinpointed that spot on. There's only two sectors, pretty much, right? I mean, it's a generalisation, of course, but there's only two sectors where you can have explosive, from nothing to super, huge mega cap sort of stock. And that's either in exploration and mining, stuff like that, or in pharmaceuticals. And so you see a mix of these are pharmaceuticals. Now, not on that rule is Coovs. I've got Coovs, Keffi Minerals, Motive Bio, Paragon Entertainment. I'm losing a bit of faith in those. Centaur Energy, Upland Resources, Way Education, Zananga Iron. They've done well this week. Z-I-O-C. No, but under Snoozebox. But that's a bit of a dog.
Are there any AIM stocks you haven't got an interest in?
Yeah, but that's the thing, you see. I don't put a lot in, right? Because, because blindly. There are people on Twitter who blindly support one share that they believe is going to be this next big thing. And I think, fair enough, you've done your research, okay, and you've got another stock, but nothing's a surefire thing, Death and taxes, death and taxes, that's it. So that's why you've got to hedge your bets a bit on AIM. And so don't get fall in love with one stock, because you will get heartbroken, easily. So, you know, just you do a bit of research on the stocks. If you think it has something, then put a bit of money in. But then, because you've got plenty of time, if it's going to be that 100 bagger, you've got plenty of time to put some more in. That's what I think.
Yes.
So basically, all I'm doing is a bit of seed capital to start off, you know, and if it starts going, it starts motoring, then I'll start putting in some more at different levels. But think having lots of small stocks is good, but then less bigger stocks, because I haven't got many big stocks, because they paid them. I got Persimmon now. I bought Ted Baker, which is having a hammer in there. I've got to look at the chart on that. I bought twice now, and it's still going down. And I've got to wait until the chart comes around a bit.
Because that's had an amazing run over the last few years.
Well, I was in that run. I couldn't believe every results that came out with double-digit growth. They still are. I don't know why it's been hammered so hard. But yeah, I've got that. Rothschild. What else have I got? Persimmon and Standard Chartered. Hey,
yes,
have you seen that pulling away?
Recovering,
Do you know what? I don't know why. I haven't got a huge amount of cash in that. But if that's starting to motor here now from the bottom, I've bottom bit. It's like, what I've done here, essentially, if it goes up from here, right? What I've done here, guys, and this is very impressive, even if I do say to myself, I've slayed a bear, a massive bear.
Right.
I'm talking a bear that was 18,000 pounds in weight, and it went down to he's kept losing energy. All of a sudden, the right time, at the right weight, I took him out, and now and all of a sudden, I've given birth to a bull.
Right.
I don't know how that analogy works.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But
you really are you're the Welsh Warren Buffett, really, aren't you?
Yeah, no, but you know what? I'm thinking, if you look at the chart, and this is the kind of, I had someone else come into this on Twitter, and they said, "Oh, I'm in that as well. I'm getting a bit worried now that I may cut back a bit." And I said, "No, this is not an AIM stock. You know, this is a FTSE 100 bank." And so this is the kind of stock.
And banks never go under.
No, what I'm saying is, what I'm saying, I know we've had that though. It's not going to go under for a while now, is it? But we've had that nonsense. But what I'm saying is, this is the kind of stock you can just trickle in over the years, get paid dividends, reinvest dividends, and do really well over the long term. Hopefully, you know. So my portfolio is now, you know, broken down into certain sections. 3 FTSE 100 stocks. I'm looking to pick up 3, FTSE 350 stocks. And about 10, you know, dabbling in AIM stocks. And that also I'll whittle them down if they don't perform. But that's what I'm looking for. So I'm reinvesting money in dividends in the top 6 stocks, FTSE 150, and then I'm dabbling on the smaller stocks, which hopefully will become, you know, like one of those will hopefully become a 50 bagger. And that's all you need is one. You know, that's all you need is one.
So
you start off with, say, I don't know how much you want to put in, let's say round figures, say a grand, and then all of a sudden it doubles, right? Just sit and wait there, wait for coming back, pull back, then wait for it to start rising again, put some more in. And so you're fine then, you start chucking in there. So,
The thing I've done is I had a very small amount of money in Royal Dutch Shell, and I've pulled that out because I'm looking at it and going, you know, yes, it pays a dividend, but it's a very small amount of money, and, you know, the capital gain is not going to be huge in that. And for want of a better word, it's far more fun to put it into some Kefi Minerals and see if that, you know, hits the big time, and that small amount of money turns into a much bigger amount of money much quicker than it would with a big stock like Royal Dutch Shell.
Exactly. Well, that's what Steve says. Steve, listen, so even though it's going up, I said, listen, you know, it'll take a while for Royal Dutch Shell to double, and it probably will in the next 5-10 years. And that's it's a pension stock, you know, you're holding that for your pension, and you reinvest the dividends for like 20 years, and all of a sudden you've got a nice lump there, and then if you want, then when you're retired, you can take some income rather than just reinvesting dividends. That's what it's for, you know?
Yep.
But I said, absolutely. You know, top slice a little bit of that and look at Motive Bio. I said, because that has the potential to quadruple in a year. And so that's what the difference is. So, you know, all you're going to look at, like, come back to it, is how are you employing your capital? Steve, how are you employing your capital? How are you employing your capital?
Steve?
Can I talk?
Steve!
Well, I've taken a bit out of Royal Dutch Shell. I don't know exactly what you said.
That's it. All it is the most efficient use of capital. No, your money's the capital. How can you use it most efficiently? Like Pete said the other day, how's Lloyd's doing, actually, Pete? You didn't know what to... They've had a bit of a run, and their banks...
They have bounced a bit. They sort of more stabilised, I would say. They're around the 68, 69p, you know, level. But obviously, 20p down from where they were 12 months ago. But
hang on a second. Do you know what? I couldn't... It's under the 200-day moving average.
But they announce some redundancies and things like that, which I know is bad for people that lose their jobs, but it's generally a good thing for...
Yeah, isn't that horrible? And that sort of bittersweet that happens. And Lloyds are laying off 10,000 people. You go, yes! Oh, no, sad to the families, yes, of course. Share price, yes!
It's like 400, but yeah, it was...
I know, but yeah, obviously sorry for the families, but yes, good! I could rally, you know, a little bit. I mean, the thing is, if I were you now, right... I'd employ a stop loss.
Right, yes.
And I'm looking at the chart of Lloyd's here, and we're in a down day, and I'm saying, if it ever touches 65 pence again, get out. They're at 68 point thing now, because that was a down day, and it's also a bit of a gap there. In fact, do you know what? You could even tighten that stop loss if you want to, but it's not a lot. But you could already put it on for 66. Because there's a bottom of the gap spike.
And get out and sell the whole holding, or we just take
well,
a chance?
Well, again, but, you know, how are you employing your capital?
Yes, okay.
It's all about that.
One thing I was going to say, I think we should get Steve to do a seminar on his research, because it sounds quite in-depth. It's do what Justin said.
Yeah, but not all I'm saying is is like, listen, you
do your own research, unless you're Steve and you just copy Justin. Yeah.
You've got to have some pension stocks. That's what I'm saying. You've got to have some pension stocks, you know, that you think will perform over the next 20 years, you know, without you having to do much with them. They're the boring stocks. You've got to have some of those, because you may not hit the big time with the small caps. So you've got to have one of those, you know, a couple of those pension stocks, and I'd say taking up, you know, 40% of your portfolio, pretty much.
Kind of like the Royal Dutch Shell. Is like your hamsters. It's borrowing the food away. It's keeping it there stored. And then, you know, when you need to put it into a, say, pig, you take it out and you
I
put
wouldn't
it into
say
pig.
A small stock is a pig.
Well, don't sell as a hamster.
I'd say small stock is like a cocoon of like, what turns into a butterfly? What is that?
Well, no, I'm trying to think of someone that digests food much quicker.
What's before a butterfly, I'm suggesting? What is it?
It's a larvae, isn't it?
Before that!
Before larvae, a pupil.
A pupil? An eyeball? Is it?
Pupil.
Is that
pupil.
Where it comes from, an eyeball?
That's it.
It's a slug of some kind, isn't it?
Welcome to GCSE biology. First of all, we get the pupil. It's like an eyeball. Who would believe it turns into a butterfly, eh? No, it's a caterpillar, you thick, dim switches. What's wrong with you? Are you being serious? Even my six-year-old son knows that.
Yeah, but that's when you get taught it. That's a while ago for us. I can't remember that. I've slept since then.
So what I'm saying is you get some money from the big stacks, you go to the pet shop, and then you buy yourself some caterpillars. And some of those caterpillars will not survive, guys. You know, that's the way it is. You may have a harsh winter. Which one of those caterpillars will turn into a butterfly? Now, if you had one caterpillar there, it would be more confident. This is a good analogy. Steve went to the shop and bought one caterpillar. I said, this caterpillar is going to be the best butterfly in the world. And Pete went down there and bought three, and I went down there and bought 10. And I said, what are the chances, right, of Steve getting a caterpillar? What are the chances of you and me? Say.
Yeah. Steve.
Do the math!
He's sportly.
So that's it. That's basically what I'm saying. So, you know, you've got to be pension stocks, and then you've got to be exciting stocks that could be turned into butterflies. But some of them will not survive. You know, they will not go through the pupil stage. You know, we had a little net, actually, with those things, and you could hang them up, and they turn into pupa, and then they send them in the post. That's nuts, isn't it? They just send pupas in the post. You just put them in a little net, and they start they stick to the top of the net, and they start flourishing, and then they become butterflies. You let them out, they fly away.
What did you do after butterflies?
How much did that cost you?
After butterflies, Steve.
10 grand.
They turn into a wolf.
And eat your family.
That's what they do. That's the end of their life then, Steve. That's it. But they fly. That's what I'm saying. That's like a stock. They fly. You know, so they essentially what they do is they crawl along for a little bit. They stop for a long time. People think they're dead. That's like Amos dogs. And just sell them. Or just chuck them in the bin, you know, the pupa. And then all of a sudden...
And buy a hamster.
It'll hatch and fly away. Oh, I had that. I threw it away. But anyway, that's it.
Good.
What else are we talking about? There's something else I wanted to say. Have you got any questions for this week?
Steve. That's my question.
Go on. I've not really done any share stuff this week. It's been a busy week for me.
Good. Let me just reiterate. When, you know, I just thought of this. I think it ties in nicely there. When I get people, CEOs on the podcast, I chat to about, you know, between 5 and 10 probably CEOs a week. And I always ask the question, you know, three reasons why an investor should put you on their watch list. Now, what I'm referring to that is, like I said on Thursday's podcast, is your watch list on your, you know, on your Vox Markets app.
Yes.
It's like a backward version of Britain's Got Talent. If you like what you hear, if they convince you in their three reasons, hit the follow on the app, and you will get RSS from that company, you know, and you'll learn the story. If you're no likey, don't press the follow. It's as simple as that. So it's a simple way. That's how I always say that. And it's good that, isn't it? Because, you know, in the end, this will be very clever. They'll be able to just talk to people like yourself. They'll say, oh, by the way, there's a special event for this company. And they'll only send that out to people, you know, who are on the watch list. So it's very targeted marketing, isn't it? And hopefully
absolutely.
And also like Facebook, they'll say, oh, by the way, you have this stock in your watch list. Someone else who has these three stocks also likes this stock. So they can suggest stocks for you in a similar area.
Yeah.
That'd be quite nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah, it's good.
Steve, you've been busy working or what? Are you still courting these days or not?
Yeah, still courting, yeah.
There's a silence there, wasn't it, for a while? He wasn't sure himself then. Am I?
No, it's still all happening.
Hi, is she? Oh, I knew I'd forgotten something. I haven't spoken to her for 3 weeks. I'm thinking of it. Oh, yes! That's it! I had a girlfriend, didn't I? that's good, Steve.
I haven't seen her for a while.
Yeah, I wonder why it's something gone quiet. Okay, so what are you been working, while still, what are you doing?
I've been working the early mornings this week.
Have you? Where?
Yeah.
Prostitute.
at Capital this week.
Capital!
Yeah, so it's been very tiring getting up at 5 a.m. again for 1 week.
Oh, nice.
Kind of get back to normal now.
Okay, and who was that show with? Was it three people on the show?
It's the three, yeah.
Is that still good? Okay. Listen... what was I saying now? That Polly on the breakfast show there, is that her? Is she still there?
Yep, that's her, yeah.
Every time I see her on Facebook, she's got another tattoo. What is she doing there?
She's getting more tattoos.
Why is she doing that? I don't see any point in tattoos whatsoever. Absolute waste of time and energy and money, isn't it?
Yeah.
People say, oh, it's body art. No, it's not. If that was on a, if you drew that on a canvas, I would not hang that on the wall of my bog. It's absolute nonsense. Who would have that? I mean,
there's actually a TV show on quite late at night on E4 now. Was it Tattoo Fixers? And people come in with like terrible tattoos, and they just put
they're
bigger
all terrible.
On
now, which would be even worse. No, none of them are any good. What are the things people have them on their arms, like a barbed wire? What's all that about? Oh, lovely. That's nice. Barbed wire in your arm. Yeah, lovely. In purple ink. Lovely.
Do you know what I think will be the future is having like screens built into your clothes so you can just kind of change your body art as you're kind of walking around. And if you don't like it, you just change it the next day.
Nanotechnology. That is nanotechnology.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the new, that's the future tattoos.
I've got an argument with many a tattoo person. And I've said to one of them, no, it's unique. See, it makes me more unique. No, it doesn't. Your body is unique. Your body is unique, completely unique. Now, the fact that you put purple ink into it makes you very similar to every other person who's got a tattoo. So you're less unique.
Justin, on another note, have you sponsored me for my expedition this weekend?
What?
See, Pete, I was going to sponsor you. I had a pen here waiting, a little checkbook. I was going to write a check, but you didn't arrive, so...
What is going on here? Steve, who last week... texted us a picture, thinking we'd be impressed, have him stand outside his house waving at his new CCTV cameras because they're HD quality. It's got a checkbook and pen.
It's depressing.
Oh, let me get my checkbook out here. Hang on.
Yeah.
It's like one of those women in front of you, the queue at the supermarket. Oh, hang on. How much is it for, dear? Can you print a check? We don't take checks, love.
And you know full well, Steve, techie Steve, you know exactly how to do it. Did you like the web address? It's justgiving.com/bikes for boobs
I need to cut out during that thing they dipped out. Sorry, we've got filters. It's anti-charity filters on the podcast. Whenever you mention a charity, it just cuts
boobs
out.
Boobs on
there.
Bikes 2016.
No, it sponsors that sexist cause.
It's
disgusting.
Breast cancer.
Oh, okay, sorry, sorry, okay,
and we're
sorry.
Doing a big bike ride. Okay. Come on, Justin, have you sponsored me yet?
I bet you joined up thinking it was something else originally, didn't you?
No.
Bikes for boobs, yes, excellent, I'll do that.
I know for a fact you made at least £4 out of African potash.
Yeah, so,
come on.
No, of course I'll sponsor you, yes. I'll put the link on the website as well. So.
Oh, thank you, Justin, that'd be very kind.
So if anyone else fancies sponsoring...
What's the going rate for sponsorship, Pete? What's acceptable?
Just 10% of your portfolio.
Okay,
so you're going to give me some money, are you?
Nice!
Oh, right, yeah, good point.
Okay, so that's it. One more thing, I did feel a bit awkward speaking to Paul Johnson of Metal Tiger this week and telling him I'm sold out.
Yes.
It's very hard to do that, you know? It's almost like a family member saying to you, oh, I've just released a pop single, have you bought it? No, I haven't. I didn't really like it, to be honest. You know, or painting a picture and say, "Oh, do you like my picture?" Yeah. And say, no.
Or telling them that their baby's ugly.
Yeah. But do you know what? I do believe in the long term potential with Metal Tiger. I just think that at the moment, and no offense, I even saw like the PCGE when the update came out. It wasn't a particularly bad update. Their revenue didn't double like it did last time, but it still increased a little bit. But at the moment. Any excuse to get the cash, and I'll take that excuse.
I thought you said earlier you're still in them.
What?
Didn't you say you were still in PCG?
No,
earlier?
Sold. I was like 50% up, and I dropped in the day quickly, about 10% down. I got out. I think I was 40-50%. And I just think, you know, someone in the Brexit, man, you've got to have a plan, you know what I'm saying? And this is the stat I like the most. I looked this up on Wikipedia. Wikipedia! You know, 47th biggest economy in the world, Greece. It wobbled the markets when they were threatened to leave because they couldn't agree with the European Union about their debt. It wobbled the entire stock market around the world. We are the fifth biggest economy in the world. Mm-hmm. And if we're threatening to leave, that's going to have an adverse effect on the markets, full stop. During summer as well, you know, that's compounded the fact that, lack of liquidity. We're going to have a couple of issues over summer. And I'm just thinking, I want money, not because I think it's a doomsday scenario, because I want to be able to buy some stocks at a cheaper rate. It's like the summer sale is coming, guys. It's called Brexit. And that's what it's about. So, get a bit of cash in. I mean, last year. Listen, we've hit a high. This is another fact. We've hit a 2016 high in the markets. Whenever that happens, be wary, because everyone thinks it's going to carry on, and normally it doesn't. And all I'm saying is, you know, get ready to get some cash on board, because once it does start moving, people will start worrying it is Brexit, and then it's self-fueling, you know?
Yeah.
So are you in cash? Give me percentage terms in cash in your portfolio.
No, I'm very low still. I don't know percentage terms, probably 5% or something. Very low.
Peter, you need to be getting up to 25-35%.
Okay.
25-35%.
Okay.
All right?
I'm at about 4%.
Steve, you need to get up to 25-35%.
Okay. Yes.
Get it up there.
But it's just tricky picking the ones that you're going to slice, because there's not many that are really in decent profit, and I want to hold on to them.
Cause... Well, put it this way. I'll put it this way. Take 20% off each stock now, right? That's what it's going to be like in the summer. Think of that. Would you prefer to top sell now or later?
Yes, now, yes, probably. Yes.
There's always going to be a pullback between now and the end of the year. There's always going to be a little dip. Don't worry about that. So if it doesn't happen in summer, it probably happened towards the end of the year anyway. So there's always a chance to get back in. But once it starts falling, you won't have the chance to get back out. You know?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, good point. Okay, boss.
I don't know. It's my opinion. It may be wrong. All I'm saying is be wary. It could happen. You know what I'm saying?
But you have been saying that for a while, and we've been ignoring you. So you know we're not.
No, I did say April, didn't I? I did say April for a long time. I set up the alerts and everything.
Well, we've still got another week, so you know.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, me, it's fine. So people start that old adage, "Selling may go away," starts kicking in as well. Then you got Brexit. People are like, "Oh, an extra reason to get away." So I'm just thinking, you know, you mark my words, boy. Oh, you mark my words. You're all doomed, I say. You're all doomed.
Okay. Right. Okay. Anything else?
That's it. On that positive note.
Brilliant.
Have a nice weekend.
Thanks very much. I look forward to getting your sponsorship.
Oh yes, that's it. Yes. What's it again, Pete?
It's justgiving.com, boobs on bikes 2016.
Just in, it's /, isn't it? After.
But it is /, obviously. I thought people would know that. Okay.
Boobs on bikes or boobs for bikes?
Boobs on bikes.
Boobs on bikes. All right.
Yeah. Good. Right. Thanks very much.
An odd picture that conjures there.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. It's almost like Steve's Prince Albert. Right. Cheers, lads. Have a nice weekend.
Bye.
Bye.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about, so please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion. Please do your own research.